Okay, Pee-wee. We should have that story where our Pee-o is there walking on the streets of Denmark trying to sell books. It's like completely absurd situation, actually. He's ended up in, and he himself sells 10, 20 books a day. It's not so easy. But the others start to sell more. And he doesn't notice that much, you know. Yeah, of course, they should sell like we do in Sweden. It's no big difference. So it's just, he's used to that standard. And then there's this other guy who is on the other end of that. How to say, organization, he's a top leader of the bookstore, of publishing house, not the store, really, which is a significant project internationally in that organization, so he's top position, important guy, and he's living there as a boss in that big mansion south of Stockholm. We just show it as it was. Yeah, then we and we show those two there. I mean, they're kind of same age and same parts of Sweden. One is that kind of guy who grew up is a Robert type, like. Used to call him, I mean, there's a guy in my class when I was a kid, he was Robert. That kind of, the guy was from a wealthy family of influential people in a smaller town, and, you know, so was floating above. The other is talented, good-looking, successful, you know, always floating on top up there, but maybe because of a need there, you know, a father who expects a lot from him and all that psychology we can show in there. And that's become somewhat of a bully too. Guy who steals girls from you. And then we have our P.O. is just ordinary little guy. Artistic, funny philosophy for thinking too much. And having his own problems there with his looking for his beloved one and all that, right? Looking for love. So now they're just really in the middle of that, those kind of projects. One of them, the boss of that book trust, and again, which is an important position, high status and all that. So it kind of fits that person. That person has this need for that. But also the ability. And then all of a sudden, anyway, that's the next part of that story. And all of a sudden he's kicked out replaced by another one. And how he spends his whole life thinking about revenge. He got very hurt by that. So, you know, that's a good way of telling the story about how it is in this world. I mean, when you go into more that mode of passion, you could say that, you know, I'm going to have a position or power or profit or popularity or whatever it is. And then on the other side, you have there a PO who, well, I mean, he was really struggling. I don't know, struggling, but he had that also in him. He's going to be a successful famous artist or this or that. But that was more of a vision, not a need, really. It was more like, you know, I'm something special. Maybe I'm different kind of guy. Maybe that came from others who start to see a talent in him like that. So he is also struggling a little bit with this, you know, am I a genius or an idiot? And his life is very much of a pendulum existence between those two, and he's trying to find a balance in between. So anyway, there they are, and RPO there, he's struggling. He didn't want to do this, he just surrendered, going there, selling books in Denmark and having that, driving around that bus there with some Danish guys, and but they have fun. He likes them and he likes Denmark, and it gets more personal, and he's out there on the street, and we can show that life, that, you know, summer when the billboards, some advertisement company had got the wonderful idea to put an ad for, I think, one of those men's magazines or something, all over town, with a huge picture of a naked woman everywhere. So wherever you turned your eyes, almost, oh, there were certain directions in every little town and small and big town, which if you put your eyes in that direction, they tended to see that image, and then how our monks handled that. So anyway, that we can show that life too. And I remember, this is all taken exactly from reality, and you know, it was a comedy. You have that scene there with he was kind of tired in the morning, it's winter, and they're going to go out on the street, but everyone is so spaced out, and because these guys are spaced out, as he calls it. They always, I mean, young guys, just a year before, they were smoking their pot, and you know, all that, what Danish guys do, and so then, you know, they're going to fill their book bags and go out for the day. And then two of them are there, and one is in the van and the other one outside. And the one in the van comes out with his bag filled, and the other one goes down to tie his shoelaces, and the other one doesn't see that and takes a step backwards and falls over him into the snow. You know, this kind of thing. And then you have this Sankirtan leader or PO standing there just like shaking his head. Oh my God, it's like a comedy. And but actually just a year before, maybe even just a few months, I don't remember, a few months before, anyway, that's a year, his guru has told him exactly the same thing when he was cooking there in the kitchen in Gotland. And everything went funny. So we make a little bit of a comedy, which was the idea of this happies, to have that element rather strongly in it. We all need a laugh now and then. So this time we they have now driven he and his friends that Sankirtan party. The big drummers. Vishnupad's drummers. Because they had two drummers in the party. Well, three, including him, and a flute player, and a farmer, and a gardener. So, yeah, driving down to the south of Germany, and there was this big, very big, the biggest so far must have been birthday or appearance day celebration of their guru, 1983 or 84, whatever it was, 83. And then we can show things there about the guru, and he's giving a lecture there, and well, that's another time when he comes there and gives a lecture in Denmark. Anyway, kind of works everything very nicely then. And although there are cracks here and there in the organization, but anyway, so then there they are, got some space on the floor in the barn or something of that Ramachari ashram of that farm down there in Switzerland, Lugano. No, actually, it's Germany, Passau. Anyway, I'll make it what I want to make. So it's Passau and it's Bavaria. So there he sits on his sleeping bag at night and tired. They've been driving and driving all through to Germany all day. And he is going to write that offering to his guru, who has that birthday celebration next day, because that's what the leaders, especially, yeah, the older disciples and those especially in leading positions, are supposed to and will do. Stand up there and talk before everyone, and make an offering to him, say some nice words. And that happened to be and had become a performance that what it could, you know, on one hand it was a nice way to show your respect to the guru, on another hand it could be used for standing there and showing off yourself. Look here, I'm one of the leaders, I'm one of the big shots, I'm really someone because I'm allowed to stand here and make this public speech here to the guru. So yeah, to some that was the attractiveness of it, and it had become somewhat of a little competition almost. Who could make the greatest speech there? And RP, he always liked that, so he was making little scripts, and since he happened to be one of the first initiates, he was generally asked to speak, because that came automatically, so to speak. Yeah. this year. He sat there and he was tired after all the driving. And he wasn't in a big shot. In fact, he felt rather useless and unqualified, and the scorers shouted at him that way. He was so unqualified. No, incompetent. That happened another time. But here he's sitting, tired. I have to write something. Oh, I don't know what to write. So afterward, he just made a couple of things there about catching the flies and even this other devotee was better at catching flies than he himself was. And then he thought, I'd just improvise. And I went to bed and went to sleep, and the next morning they do this. And then, but before him, the big shots should speak, the ones with big positions. And then, you know, they always started very much in hierarchical fashion there. They proceeded. Top guy first, the most, you know, the great Sankirtan heroes who sold lots of books every day. And the great BBT manager, and that was really something. And then the temple presidents, and then the Sankirtan leaders, and he happened to be one of those. But before that was the BBT boss, who then proceeded, standing there before his guru in front of all hundreds and hundreds of disciples and Vaishnavas, big and small, from entire northwestern Europe, from Norway to Switzerland, Germany, and all that way down and up. And all, you know, of course, all the ladies sitting there. Oh, my husband, look at him. Or look at that Brahmachari. Oh, if I could get him. So there was all that underlying subliminal level of what was going on there also. So then our big BBT boss stands up and he holds his paper. And he thinks that, well, the best I can give to my guru is the scores and the results from our BBT work, our book production work for this year. So he gives a report of the production. Production report, so to speak. He's standing there as the boss of the book trust, and Pio sits there and realizes, he knows that this is what the guru likes the most, and therefore he wants to make a nice offering of all the scores to him. That will be my offering. But actually what it becomes, he also starts to, although he's sitting there with his own mind trying to figure out what to say or clear up about what to say, but he just leaves it up to Krishna. But listens, and all of a sudden the guru stops the whole thing and shouts, "Stop it!" And then proceeds to speak in front of every, you know, to everyone, including that boss standing there with his paper in his hand. And, "What are you doing? You're just telling, you know, everyone about how great you are doing, how great you are." Because that's actually what he was doing, you know. "We have done this, and we have done that, and I have done this, and I have done that." Of course, you know, all the good things they have done during the year is because of, you know, me. That's the impression he gave, actually, Priyapi realized. So then he was crushed. And maybe it was after that that they changed the BBT manager there. I think so. That year or next year. And that crushed him heavily. But anyway, then it's Alpeo's time to speak, and he just, I mean, the situation is bewildering, you know, because after that thing that happened, and so I think he's maybe even coming in just after. So a very strange position to take over from a complete disastrous situation. And he just starts to feeble around and get it together. And yeah, you know, I don't have really much to offer to you. And, you know, just trying here to do some service and I'm not selling many books, but the others seem to sell more now, so maybe doing something right, but you know. And then he takes his little example with the flies that he thought about that day before. You know, I didn't, whatever I do, it turns out wrong, it seems. And so I'm not a very qualified servant here, standing here. And you know, even catching flies. My poor expert just catching flies with his hands, and here I stand and can't even do that. So I really concluded I really have nothing to offer to you except, or to offer here except. And this is what he decided that he would do. That was going to be his little, not a gimmick, because it was for real. But he thought, anyway, that was like his thing, that I just hereby just offer myself to this Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. So, and then he flings himself flat on the floor. And then the guru says he might not have be good at catching flies, but he is good at catching the bumblebees. And everyone is just shouting and Jai and Hari Bol. But Arpeo, he doesn't hear what he says, catching bumblebees. So, and he's so bewildered anyway, and he's just, you know, happy to have finished his offering somewhat, you know, successfully. So he sits back down there behind the others with his little Sankirtan party like that. And then there's a woman who tells that story to him years after. Actually, this happened 83, let's say so, or was it 84, but whatever. And she tells that to him when he is, you know, in 2023, and he had forgotten that part with the other guy, the big boss, the big leader, the guy, but just remembered his own thing, that this, and he's still thinking like this, you know, again, my life, I fell down there on the floor and offered myself to the Sankirtan mission to go on a tie. And they accepted the offerings. I'm still serving that mission, and I'm thinking every day, well, what can I do for Lord Chaitanya, Sankirtan movement? Because it's so beautiful. All glories to Shri Gaurantai Sankirtan. And that's, you know, so in this way, that story is kind of folded up into a nice little story.